pay attention to this video.
You hear me say in the law, every day something tragic happens. A child dies, cancer takes another life, an earthquake kills thousands. It forces people to ask the question, if God is loving and merciful, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Well, that's a good question. And thankfully, the Bible sheds a lot of light on this subject. Check this out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's the declaration of the very first verse in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The next couple of chapters explain in broad terms what God made over the course of the six literal days he used to complete his creation. Light, the sky, plants, animals, and humans. That's right. God created everything, and according to Genesis 1:31, he saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. That is, it was complete and perfect. There was no death and no suffering. There was no survival of the fittest. Animals didn't attack and eat each other. Adam and Eve, the first two humans, did not kill animals for food. Genesis 1:29-30 makes it clear that man and animals ate only fruits and vegetables. So the original creation was wonderful, peaceful, without death, full of life and joy, and all enjoying the presence of God, the Creator. So, what in the world happened? How do we get from there to here? Well, something drastic must have happened that altered the original creation, and that something was sin. Remember, God created a perfect world and placed Adam and Eve in paradise. As their creator, he had authority over them, and in his authority, God gave them a rule. In Genesis 2:17, God said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, Adam and Eve heard the rule loud and clear, but they willfully disobeyed it. They ate from the tree God told them not to. They chose to live by their rules and separate themselves from God. So the Creator kept His promise that punishment would follow their disobedience. With the rebellious act of one man, sin entered God's creation and death along with it. But the effects of sin didn't stop there, because God had given dominion over all of creation to man in a very real sense. The sin of man affected all of creation. In Genesis 3, we see the beginning of a cursed creation. Thorns and thistles were now part of the world, as well as pain and suffering and death. The world was no longer perfect. It was sin-cursed. And that's why tragic things still happen today. And before we give Adam and Eve the full rap, we have to realize that all of us still willfully sin against God. That should make us really pause and think. But for now, at least on this topic, enough said.
Good morning. My name is David Allen Taylor, Jr. I'm the youth pastor at this church. Pastor Tony is off in New Mexico, not Old Mexico, but New Mexico, enjoying some vacation and family time. It's good to see Rachel Martin's store. It's good to see you. I'm just picking you out of the crowd. It's good to see all of you this morning. My wife loves me. Did you guys know that? She does. However, there are certain things about me she wishes I would do differently. I am weird. I have my quirks. I admit them. And one of those quirks is I like to eat my dessert before the meal. Is there anybody else that likes to eat dessert first? Let's testify this morning. That's some good stuff. Now, I eat the same portion that I would after the meal. I just eat it before because my grandfather told me that, David, you may not make it to the end of the meal. So let's eat the best part first. All right. And today, in that line of reasoning, I'm going to give you the dessert first, the best part first, the sweetest part first. I like to call it First Things First at First Baptist Church. In the 1800s, there was this thing invented in the American church called the invitation. Bree sent out some of those, but it's a different kind of invitation. It's a time usually at the end of the church service where you present the gospel. You give people a chance to respond to the gospel message. And this is normally a time when people pack up their stuff. And some people even leave. And the church I grew up in and spent 27 years of my life in, I even heard somebody testify to this, that during the invitation, they zone out because they've heard the gospel 1,000 times. What a blessing to hear the gospel 1,000 times. One of my favorite Christian music artists, Jared, you know him. He grew up in the South, American South, a.k.a. the Bible Belt. Never heard the gospel until he was an adult. How many people do we pass in our daily lives that have not heard the gospel but could if we would just share it? All Christians are evangelists. God has given us the ministry of what's called reconciliation, is how the Bible says it. We're supposed to tell people the gospel. It is your job. Everyone you come in contact with. And since I have your attention this morning, may I share the gospel. Give you the dessert, the best part, the sweetest part first. And here is the gospel message. I'm told I have control of this. You are here. That sounds right. Here is the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. God. The Bible starts out telling you that you are not an accident, you are not a mistake, but you were purposefully created by God for a reason. And here's that reason. God wants to have a relationship with you. And Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God. But guess what? Something went wrong. That's the O. Oh no. Our sin separated us from God. And Elise Bennett, there is not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. But what is it? Let me tell you what it is. It's sin. The Bible tells you what it is. Sin. Each of us has purposely and willingly disobeyed God and gone our own way. And that sin separates you from God. And the penalty of that sin is death, both spiritual and physical death. Now that would be bad news if it stopped there. But here's the good news. Are you ready for it? Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. You know how you could save yourself, if you could save yourself? Be perfect. You messed that up, didn't you? All right? And since the only person that could meet God's criteria of perfection is God, God sent himself as Jesus to live a perfect life and to pay that penalty for you and for me. So everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus alone has eternal life. And that life is not just about heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. Let's go right now. Lord, come back now. Let's go. God wants to live with you now, just like in the Garden of Eden. He wants to have a relationship with you here and now. And that relationship can start now. And as a bonus, it lasts forever. That's exciting. So if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, let me tell you how. It's right on your little handout. Hopefully you got a bulletin and all these copious notes that you're going to take on this little sermon notes thing. It says how to receive Christ. You admit your need. You have to repent of your sin, believe in Jesus and Jesus alone. And then through prayer, invite Jesus into your life and confess that to him. And there's a sample prayer on your handout. And becoming a Christian and being right with God is not like a Harry Potter magic spell. All right, it's not about this little paragraph that you recite. It's a change in the direction of your life. And if you do that today and you say a model prayer, something like that, salvation is a heart matter. The Bible says if you believe, you belong. And you can have that assurance of life with Jesus now and life that lasts forever. And if you make that decision today, would you tell one of us? I'd love to put my arms around you and say, welcome to the kingdom. And there's ABCs when it comes to Christianity. After you A, accept Christ, God wants something for you after that, after you accept Christ. B, belong to a church. Not necessarily this church, belong to a church. And there are a lot of great churches in the area. There's great churches up in Flagstaff, all right? There's great churches all over this planet. And God wants you to belong to that church and to grow and thrive in a community of local believers. That's God's desire for you. And then after that, I want you to see, commit to the cause. There are a lot of causes out there, a lot of charities, a lot of great things that people are working for, but the cause is to share that message that I just shared with you. Share the gospel with everybody you come in contact with. Don't let anybody go past you into adulthood never hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody that knows you should hear the gospel. That was sweet. I just want to hear it again. You know, we should approach the gospel like Tony's always going to do it at the end. That's just Tony's flavor, and I love Pastor Pierce, all right? I want you to approach every time Tony shares the gospel just like it's dessert. All right, here it comes. I just want to hear it again. Edge of your seat. I just want to hear it again. I think God would be pleased. Now let's get to the main course. You ready for the main course? Here we go. Do you believe that God's word is true? Hopefully that's a rhetorical question. Some of you may not. If you don't believe God's word is true, welcome. How will people know that you believe God's word is true? How will they know? I believe that Kevin Rutledge believes God's word is true. How do I know that he believes it? If you let it change the way you act, the way you think, and the way you live. Here's a question. I missed those slides. I did all that work on those slides, and I just moved past them. Who has authority over you? Think about it. In your life, all areas of your life, who has authority over you? The mayor has authority over us, right? Your parents, if you're a child, have authority over you. Who else has authority over you? Why don't you think and just tell me. Somebody tell me. Raise your hand. Just like we're at school. Way in the back. I love Gwen. Who has authority over you?
God.
God, that's a great one. Okay. Who else? I want some interaction from you. The governor. Jan Brewer. See, you're submitting to him right now. That's great. Your husband, okay. Were you going to say your husband too? Okay. Her husband, all right. Oh, way in the back. Ooh, we're going to need this one. All right, here we go. Loud and proud. Who has authority over you?
My parents.
Your parents, yes. Anybody else want to testify? Who has authority over them? Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He lives in Fountain Hills, I hear. Actually, I was behind him in line in Safeway once. That's always, oh, Selena. We're Facebook friends, me and Selena, it's true. The president of your Girl Scout troop or of the United States of America is what I'm assuming, okay. Anybody else want to testify? Jake, I'm glad you're here. He plays disc golf, everybody. I love him already. Okay, thank you for testifying. I want you to think in your mind, if you didn't have a chance to tell me, think in your mind who has authority over you. Me and my wife, we do foster care. And we've adopted our son, Mason, and we have two biological children, lots of children in my house. And doing foster care, there's lots of agencies and people that have authority over me. They come and investigate my house, and they're always there checking on me, and I have to listen to them. They have authority over me. And here's just a short list of all the people that have authority over me. All those acronyms are just wonderful there. SRMPIC, what does that stand for? Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. We fostered two children from that community, and all these people and these agencies and these groups tell me what to do. They tell me how to take care of the children, when to take them, where to go. And Angel, one of our foster children, you saw him in the announcement video, he went back, he went to his aunt to be reunited with his brother and sisters. It's a great thing. They gave us 21 hours notice that they're going to come and pick him up. And do you guys like authority? Who just really loves authority? All right. If you want to know what the rest of those acronyms are, Jeremiah, just raise your hand. He's a foster care specialist and he knows all the acronyms. We don't like authority, do we? Usually, because they tell us what to do. They walk all over us. We don't like them. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like authority. And I have to testify, sometimes I don't either. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. And I want you to think and keep in mind those people that have authority over you. All the areas of your life, people that have authority over you, keep them in mind so we can, in a real and personal way, apply these truths we're about to read. These truths are going to change your life. I don't know if you've heard a sermon on Romans chapter 13 before, but I haven't heard many of them. And these truths are going to apply in a very personal way. And I want you to keep in mind when we read these, who has authority over you? All those people that we mentioned and the people we didn't, in your mind. You guys have those people in mind? And hopefully you did not come here today hoping to hear a word from me. Now, I know Mark, he got up this morning and he said, you know what? David has a degree in religion from the largest evangelical university in the world, and I want to hear a word from him. No, God forbid. God forbid. You have come here today to hear a word from God. God, the Holy Spirit, is your teacher, and these are his words. I control this. All right. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Where's the youth group at? When you read God's Word, you're studying God's Word. After you read it once, what do? I trained them well.
Read it again.
Thank you for showing. Thank you, Jared Lowell. Go to McDonald's, everybody. Jared's working at 1 o'clock. Get an ice cream cone or something. But eat it before your meal. All right, so praise God. We're going to read it again, but we're going to pretend like we're on I-10 at 5 o'clock, and we're going to stop and go, and we're going to unpack this. Are you ready? Whoop. Go back. Here we go. Let every soul. Is there anybody in here that's not in every soul? I really want you to get a hold of this here. This message is from God to you. Every soul. No exceptions. Every soul. This is deep, even me. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. All those people in your mind that you thought about who have authority over you, their authority is from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. If you have your paper Bibles today, I want you to circle that. I want you to box it. I want you to highlight it. I want you to tattoo it on your pinky. All right? Those authorities that exist are appointed by God. Wow. Therefore, because of what verse 1 says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Again, circle it, highlight it, box it, tattoo it on your other pinky. The ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. You ever been driving along and you see a cop? Foot off the gas. Whoa. You ever done that before? I've been in the car with my own personal car and the church van, and people are like, David, watch out, a cop. I'm like, okay. Why do we do that? Because we're afraid that they're going to do something to us. You know what the Bible says? That if you're obeying all the laws, you don't have to worry about the cops. You don't have to worry if you're doing the right thing. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. Wow. All those authorities you have in your mind, have you ever approached them as they are ministers of God for your good? Have you ever considered that before? This is like thousands of year old stuff. I hope you considered it before, but please consider it this morning. But if you do evil, be afraid. I love going into Christian bookstores. Not only because of what you can find, but because of what you don't find. You'll never find anything specifically historically dated before Abraham, because that's too controversial. We don't want to get into historical dates before Abraham. Anyways, I digress. You know what you will also not find in the Precious Moments Bible? At your local Christian bookstore? That line right there. If you do evil, be afraid. This is God's word. This is the full counsel of God's word. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. I love when the army pulled Saddam Hussein out of that hole in the ground. And the soldier said, the President of the United States sends greetings to you. I just love that. I don't know if the SEAL Team 6 got a chance to say anything to Osama before they double-tapped him in the forehead. But do you know that those soldiers are executing God's wrath and judgment on those who practice evil? Have you ever considered that possibility? Therefore, you must be subject. Must. Must is one of the most powerful words in the English language. There's no exception. You must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Again, I want you to circle that word conscience in your Bible. It has to do with your testimony and your witness. As Christians, we should stand out. Yes? And we should stand out because we submit to authority. That should be our testimony. for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, pay your taxes, for there are God's minister attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to fear, honor to whom honor. Again, picture those authority figures, all that we mentioned, all in your mind. Do you honor all authority figures? You're prying into my life, David. No, it's God the Holy Spirit. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We also subject ourselves to authority for love. That's good stuff. Are you glad that you're here today? Now, the Bible is a book, or better yet, a unified series of books, that's not just for philosophical or, you know, theological exercise this morning. God wants it to affect the way you think, the way you live, and the way you act. Man, I got more than I bargained for coming to church this morning. I don't want to change all those things. I have two very offensive signs for you this morning. You know, when the senior pastor's away, the youth pastor will play. You know, I'm going to show you some signs that are very offensive. Now, I don't know if you guys obeyed my authority here, my little sign, but I just want to show you. It's very offensive. You guys are going to hate this sign. You just are really going to... It's metallic. This is beautiful. Here you go. Are you offended? Now, remember you tattooed the ordinance of God in your pinky? You want to refer to that now? That's an ordinance from God. There's some misconceptions about this sign. It does not say 26. It does not say 27. It even doesn't say 32. There are reasons that these signs are in black and white. It's black and white. It says 25. An ordinance from God. It's also a misconception about this sign. It applies to all lanes of traffic. Some people are like, I'm in the fast lane, so there's a special rule for this lane. You know, people who obey the speed limits and go under the speed limit, that's the slow lane. Over here, I'm in the fast lane. Yeah. I can do whatever I want in the fast lane. If somebody ahead of you is in the fast lane and they're doing the speed limit, that is the maximum you can do under Arizona state law. You cannot go faster, even in the fast lane. An ordinance from God. You guys are offended this morning, and I love it, because it's the Word of God that's the offense and not me. And that's my prayer, is that God's Word offends you and not me. There's a little website on your handout. You can refer to all Arizona laws pertaining to speed limits. Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 28, Chapter 3, Article 6, Section 701 through 710. About 8 pages of reading, 3,801 words. So tonight, read it. I learned some new things. I learned you can't go downhill in neutral in Arizona. It is against the law to do that. I thought it was fun, but apparently it's against the law. Because, you know, coming back from Payson, you know, you just throw it in neutral and you're like, yeah, right. I'm weird like that. Or coming back from Flagstaff. You know, it's fun, too. Down little windy curves. It's fun. Don't do it. I have a criminal record. And you can talk to the personnel committee, and they'll be glad to show it to you. It's very boring. I have 2 speeding tickets. I have disobeyed this ordinance of God myself. Coming back from, used to live in Tucson, came up to a concert in Phoenix with my wife. Long story short, was in a rental car. It had 14 miles on it. Men, pay attention. 14 miles on a brand new car. They rented it to me. All right? Coming back from the concert, had a great time. The wife fell asleep. I blame it on her to this day. I said, you know what? This car needs to be broken in. Right? Never been driven before. We need to, you know, the odometer or the speedometer says, you know, 120. You know what I mean? So it's meant to go, you know? So got up to 100 miles an hour on I-10. I was younger and stupider then. And I learned something about my wife. She does not like to be woken up to a cop car behind us. She doesn't like that. And when she woke up, she saw the lights behind her and the cop coming up. And she turned to me and said, David, what did you do? Sorry, sweetie. By the grace of God, I was only doing 90 when he clocked me. And through his discretion and grace, he only wrote it for 85, paid the fine, went to the class. There were people in there that got a ticket for doing 1 and 2 miles over the speed limit. It can happen. Cops don't have to show themselves in order to radar gun you. Silly things. I was recently among a group of pastors and Christian leaders. We were having coffee at Starbucks. I think Bambi was there too. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't. But we were just discussing things, and the conversation got onto the topic of speeding tickets. And these Christian leaders and pastors were talking about how to get out of a speeding ticket. Yeah, and I'm listening. Tell me more. And they're like, never take the cop to court because they get paid overtime for that. They love to go to court. People are writing this down. Like, you weren't writing stuff down before. You're like, oh, okay, don't take them to court. They get paid overtime for that. You want to protest the speeding ticket in writing because apparently their thinking was cops don't like to do paperwork, so they're most likely just to forget it and you'll get off scot-free. And through the Holy Spirit, I spoke up, or maybe in my own spirit, I don't know, and said, you know what, when I have a speeding ticket, I just pay the speeding ticket because I was wrong. And I pay the fine. Because as a Christian, I know something about grace. And I've had cops show me grace before. But I also know about admitting your guilt. If you were speeding, breaking the law, pay the ticket. Seek God on how he leads you if you ever get a ticket. I'm sure Sandy's never gotten a ticket before, right? One. That surprises me. There was something wrong there. All right. I love cops. I really do. I love police officers. Anybody else like cops? I got robbed at gunpoint twice in my life. Same place when I was working in college. I got robbed once, and I decided to keep my job to get robbed again. And there is a reason the emergency number is so short and sweet. Because when you have to dial 911, you just can't get it right. You know, 911, you know. It is so great when someone threatens to kill you and points a double-barrel shotgun at you and picks you up with that shotgun, throws you against the desk, and then somebody points a gun to your ex-girlfriend's head. You are really glad when the good guys with guns show up. I love cops. They come and rescue me. It's just wonderful. All right. And working with teenagers in this town, I love the Maricopa Sheriff's Department, too. The deputies are great. I love them. All right. But working with teenagers, they tell me that they sometimes get harassed because there are lots of things to do in Fountain Hills for teenagers. I mean, it's just so many things. So sometimes they're just sitting around the park and cops come and say, hey, what are you doing? We're sitting at the park because we're bored to death, you know. So they report to me that they sometimes get harassed. And it's true that I'm sure there are some police officers out there that abuse their power and they're bad. And we hear about them in the news, right? But I firmly believe that most police officers love the communities they serve, and they give their lives to serve and protect us. I truly believe that. And I had a great, I've been pulled over in Fountain Hills before. I won't tell you that story, but it wasn't my fault. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I went to, this summer, I went took my kids to the Christchurch VBS over there by Golden Eagle, took my kids to their VBS, and it was family night, so we were all heading out. And at the time, I had 5 kids in my house, so getting 5 kids in the car and somewhere is a challenge, right? So we're getting all the kids in there. Mason, put your shoes on, you know, stop pulling Trinity's hair. And so we get them all in, and I put my wallet on top of the car. Get in the car, go, had a great time, Christchurch VBS, praise God for all the great work that was done there, and even in my own kids' lives. And get back, and then I'm thinking to myself, where did I put my wallet? Went frantic, searched everywhere, came down to the church, where is it? Searched frantically for an hour and a half, couldn't find my wallet. I'm thinking my credit cards, my professional disc golf membership card, you know, just, you know, my Costco card, you know, just all these things that I'm going to have to cancel and replace. I'm just freaking out. Then it popped in my head, dumb David, you put it on top of the car. Race back. Drive every little spot that I took all the way to Christchurch and back. Didn't find it. Spent an hour looking for it. Came home, resigned to the fact that I lost my wallet, had to replace everything. Not a good day. When you're not having a good day, something else happens to make it worse. Cop pulls up behind me. And he's tailing me. And I know he's tailing me because I have to make a lot of turns to go to my house. Right? It's not like I just live off a saguaro or something. I've got to make a lot of turns in there. Totally following me. Dawns on me. I don't have my wallet. He's going to pull me over, and I'm going to get arrested and because I can't prove who I am. This is great. It'll make Fountain Hills Times, and it'll be wonderful. You know, you'll see my face on there, you know. It'll be great. I'm like, this is just great. I get all the way to my house, pull in my driveway, hoping he'll just go right by. He stops. He gets out of his car, walks up the driveway, and he says this. Are you David? It depends. Did you lose something? I did. Good Samaritan saw my wallet fall off the car, picked it up, turned it into the cops. Cops went to my old address on Edgeworth, lived there for 2 years, and now live on Caliente, right next to the Damudes, the best neighbors in the world. See how I throw that in there? It's just, but it's true. He went to my old address, went to my new address, followed me until he could hand deliver my wallet to me. I love cops. I love authority. You don't hear those kinds of good stories, do you? I don't know who the Good Samaritan was, but Lord blessed them in many ways as well. We went to summer camp this year, and the speaker there was the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Lakewood, California. His name is Brent Eldridge. He spoke on this very chapter. Youth group, have I been talking about this chapter for a long time? Yes. 4 years, 8 months, 21 days have I been speaking on this message, subject yourselves to authority, honor authority because you honor God. And I don't know if for you parents in here, have you ever told your kids something over and over again? And then somebody else comes along and tells them the same exact thing. And they're like, wow, this is the wisest thing I've ever heard. Mother, father, come hear what I have learned from this source. And it frustrates you because you said the same exact thing, but they hear it from a different source and they get it. Praise God for His faithfulness. Because a lot of kids in the youth group got it. And there was a 400, 500 kids there at summer camp, and the testimony time, they're saying, you know what, I'm going to do the speed limit now. They were getting it. And I was just praising God for that. Because you know what? I have been made fun of for 4 years, 8 months, and 21 days by Christians. Even before that, I was made fun of because I do the speed limit. People accuse me of driving slow. I do the maximum allowed under Arizona state law. I'm booking everywhere I go. Anybody have a Facebook account? It's of the devil. Delete it. No, I'm just kidding. In the church I grew up in, I taught adults and children down there for 12 years, right alongside my own youth pastor. And there's this one girl named Charlsie. She gave me a message. And it says this, so I'd just like you to know that I was speeding the other day and thought of you. I still remember that lesson. She's in her mid-20s now. And it was so encouraging to me that God used something I said many years ago to remind her that, you know what, you need to obey authority out of your deep respect for God. Praise God for that. Praise God. There was a girl on Wednesday nights. I drive all the kids home in the van. We get out at 9 o'clock here and take the high schoolers home. I love time in the van. Please come just on a Wednesday night just to ride in the van. It's like a ride at Disneyland. It's amazing. All right. The Brand family has to tell you about Riley. He does weird stuff in the van. All right. I love him, though. I do. He's just weird. We'll talk later. It's great in the van. There's this girl who came to our church for the very first time. She was invited by her friends. Come to our youth group. It'd be great. She comes, and she says, oh, David will take you home in the van. I love to do it. I love the relational time, all that stuff. And we're driving, and I'm going down Saguaro. I'm doing 34 down Saguaro. And the van rides very smooth. It's a great van. Praise God for what He's given us and blessed this church with. It rides very smooth. Now, when you are used to speeding, you have a feel for how fast you're going. So if you're used to speeding all the time and you actually start doing the speed limit, you feel like you're going slow. This girl felt like we were going slow. But I'm like, man, I'm pushing the limit, you know, 34, you know, we're cruising. I think I'm such a cool youth pastor, but I'm not. So we're going along, and she says this, and it just blessed my heart, She says, you know what, I have never been in a car where someone actually did the speed limit. That blesses my heart. Because you know what it says? She comes to our church, those people are different. They honor authority. Why do they honor authority? Because they honor God. What just a great testimony. First time she's ever been here, and she's 15 years old and never been in a car where somebody did the speed limit. And I get a lot of flack, from Christians, and it breaks my heart. Why are you doing the speed limit? Everybody breaks the speed limit. Everybody does it. Imagine if I got in a car wreck in the van, and I listened to those voices that said, David, break the speed limit. Even if it wasn't my fault. And praise God for the thousands of miles that I've driven in the church van. No one's ever been hurt. Praise God for that, right? Kevin's the only one that's ever messed up the van, all right? But it was in Mexico. It wasn't your fault either. Okay. I put a small dent on the bumper that's on the underside, so you can't see it, Kevin. And so I put a dent. We're the only one. We're partners, all right? But imagine I get in an accident. Would anybody come up to me and said, you know what, David, you were right for breaking the speed limit? No, they would come from my head, wouldn't they? I can't believe you were actually breaking the speed limit. And they get in the car and they break the speed limit on their way out just so mad, you know? Could you imagine? Guys, the things that God calls us to are difficult and hard. Don't listen to anybody else but God. Honor God. Be encouraged this morning. Some of you aren't convinced, though. You're looking at that sign like, I'm just not convinced. I get that. Praise God. May God, the Holy Spirit, work on you and see if this is true and you should actually do it. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. You're like, certainly there must be exceptions. I read a story recently of this couple. I even have a picture. I'm so media savvy. It's not true. That couple, they live in Canada. And their oldest child there, very difficult pregnancy. Emergency C-section. The mother just has very difficult carrying children to term. Well, they got pregnant again, so they're very worried. And labor happened, however that happens. And I just knew my wife was yelling at me a lot. That's, it's time, baby's coming. It's not true, she didn't do that. So she starts feeling contractions, and she knows she needs to get to the hospital right away. It's a matter of life and death. Husband gets everybody in the car, starts driving over 100 miles an hour trying to get to the hospital, about an hour away. And then he sees a cop behind him. Great, they're going to give me an escort. Once I tell them that my wife, life or death, my child, is going to give me an escort, and we'll be there. You know what the cop did? Gave him a ticket. $1,000 ticket, in fact. Your license is going to be revoked for 4 months. What? No. He let him go and said, don't speed on your way to the hospital. He alerts his cop friend down the road. There's probably a guy coming that's going to be going by you that is going to be speeding. Pull him over. Husband, he's like, this is life or death. I don't care what that cop said. I don't care about $1,000. I don't care about that. I got to get my child to the hospital. Speeds on there, gets pulled over again. Cop won't let him leave. Calls an ambulance to take the wife to the hospital. Was the cop right? What if the child had died? Would the cop been right then? What if the guy killed somebody else going 100 miles an hour down the road? There's a lot of what ifs. You could play the what if game forever. But praise God, you know, child got there safe, mom and child got there safely, and it was okay. Doing what God has asked us to do is very hard. If you're going to be going down Saguaro today and you're late and you're running somewhere and you have to get there and you're in a hurry, it's going to be very hard to do the speed limit. I just want to encourage you to obey authority out of respect for God. And God has not called us something that he won't enable us to do. Praise God. You wrote something else on your finger. Are you ready for it? Lord, give me the strength to deliver your message today. The most offensive sign I could show you. Are you ready for it? Do you believe all authority is appointed by God? I heard a yes. Nobody's ever done this before. Do you believe that all authority is appointed by God? Let's see if you really do. I'm just going to let that sit and simmer. You said the video's queued up, right, Tim? Let's watch an offensive video.
The first one is Christianity. Now, you've made no doubt about your faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you to trust in Christ? And what does that mean on a daily basis? I mean, what does that really look like?
Well, as a starting point, it means I believe in that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and that I am redeemed through Him. That is a source of strength and sustenance on a daily basis. I know that I don't walk alone, and I know that if I can get myself out of the way, that I can maybe carry out in some small way what he intends.
Offensive signs, offensive videos, what is going on? Why would a picture of the President of the United States and a video of the President of the United States confessing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ be offensive? Why would that be offensive? There are many Christians, 20% of Americans in a recent poll believe that he's Muslim. Despite this, many Christians believe that this man is headed to hell. I would even say that some Christians want him to go to hell. I have family members that refuse to watch that video. I just kind of sprung it on you like that so I didn't give you a chance to run away. I said, I have a video where he, confesses his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't want to watch that. They won't watch it because they are convinced that he's not. And they don't want to entertain any evidence to the otherwise. There are many Christians that just hate this man. Is he saved? I don't know. God knows. The only person you can know for sure that's going to heaven? You. Because salvation is a heart matter between you and God alone. So I can't even tell you here that Lawrence Anthony Pierce is saved. That's Pastor Tony's real name, by the way. Oh, man, this is on video. He's going to hear it in New Mexico. Oh, man. Hi, Tony. That's for you. It's going to time travel forward there. You can't know. You can't know. So I'm not here to tell you something I can't tell you for sure. But I can tell you this. I'm concerned, church. I am very concerned. I am very concerned about Christians who hate this man. I am concerned that there are Christians in America, and I've seen YouTube videos to the same. Not that I spend a lot of time on YouTube. Okay. It's a waste of time. It's a great ministry tool. Anyways, people that have taken representations or pictures of this man and used them for target practice. I am concerned, church, because these things are wrong. These things are very wrong. I have heard people say of this man, he is the worst president in the history of the United States. I've heard that said of every president in my lifetime. Every president. Before 1978, Jimmy Carter was president. Heard it said about him. Even Reagan, I heard it said about. George Herbert Walker Bush. Bill Clinton. I'm not going to stop there. I'll move on. George W. Bush. Everybody in my lifetime. I've heard it all. He's the worst president of everybody. And I'm just going to submit for your consideration this morning that people who say that are ignorant of history. He's the 44th president. Who's the first president, by the way? Anybody know? Oh, we got some hands. I love the three hands. All right. He's like, oh, what I know. All right. Yes. George Washington. You were, pin a rose on your nose. You're awesome, right? Real men wear pink, right? It's true. He is the first constitutional president. But there's something called the Articles of Confederation before that. And there were presidents who served a year term before that. Who had never heard that before? But there were presidents before George Washington. Some people don't want to admit it. Thank you, Elaine Baddock, for being who you are and loving me so deeply. I'll get back to you on those tickets, by the way. Okay. Now, away from me and Elaine's conversation, back to the lesson. There were presidents before George Washington under the Articles of Confederation. Do you really know all the history behind all the presidents of the United States? What about a guy named Fillmore? You ever heard about him? He's a bad president. Buchanan? Pierce? These guys weren't good. Richard Nixon was a crook. He had to get pardoned because of his criminal activity. We're ignorant of history. Do you really believe that we have it bad in the United States of America today? Man, the economy is tanked. Gold's through the roof. Who's got gold? Yeah? I don't. There's some in heaven. I'm going to walk on it one day. It's going to be awesome. Do you really think that it's really bad today in America? Who would say it's really bad in America? Really, really bad. Anybody alive in the 30s during the real Depression? Some testimony there. Somebody wondered, yeah, I was a young one back then. Do you really believe you think you have it bad? Who wrote the book of Romans? Anybody? Shout it out. Paul. That's one of the correct answers. Anybody know the other correct answer? Holy Spirit, that's another correct answer. Anybody else know the third person that wrote the book of Romans? Romans chapter 16, verse 22. I, Tertius, have wrote this for Paul. Paul actually dictated it to a guy who actually wrote it down. And of course, it's a trick question. I'm sorry. I'd love to get the youth group with that one. There are three right answers. Does anybody know where Paul was when he wrote the book of Romans? Prison, jail, in Rome. Somebody ever wrote? Do you see the historical context of what we just read in Romans chapter 13? Let everyone be subject to the authorities. Could you imagine writing something like that from prison? To me, it's just evidence that God, the Holy Spirit, wrote the Bible, not Paul. Who in their right mind would write something like that? From prison. Does anybody know who was in control of the Roman Empire when Paul wrote Romans? By Jackie Chan moved there. Anybody? Nero. He was a bad dude. He took Christians and lit them on fire for fun. And what did Paul say in the book of Romans? Let everyone be subject to authorities, because all authorities are ordained by God. That's a David paraphrase there for you. Do you understand the historical context of what Paul is writing and where he's writing it from? Woo! I'm not going to talk politics this morning, because people would throw Baptist hymnals at me and it just kind of sore from playing a disc golf tournament this weekend, so I wouldn't dodge it real well. But I will say that I disagree a lot with this man. I just want to put that out there for the record, especially on the issue of abortion. Now, some of you just zoned out right now when I said that word, because we have very passionate beliefs about that subject, don't we? I have the most radical and passionate beliefs about abortion that you will probably ever meet from anybody. And I just want to give you two quick views on something. And if you think this is inappropriate for church, I believe it to be a matter of life and death, and we're just going to disagree. So just entertain this, and I promise we'll be friends at the end, okay? If you or someone you know is considering abortion, I know at least two families in Fountain Hills that will adopt that child if you go through the pregnancy. Spread the word, please. I believe that you have the right to choose. I believe that. But I would have you consider this morning, put on your stethoscopes because I want you to hear my heart, all right? I believe you have the right to choose, but I want you to consider this morning that the right choice is life. And that is not just something that I believe just for a bumper sticker. It's something that I'm willing to invest my life in. I'm committed to that, changing my everyday life to have a baby come into my house just so it can live. Also, this church supports Crisis Pregnancy Center. Lori, raise your hand. Yay, oh, kind of like this. Raise it really tall. Yay, Lori. Okay, I love Lori. We support Crisis Pregnancy Center, a great organization that helps people, with this, not just somebody that's just preaching at them saying, you need to do this. Someone comes alongside and helps and will be there for you for the entire time. Praise God for organizations like that. Also, to the women, if you are on the birth control pill and also believe that life begins at conception, please consult your physician on what the birth control pill does. It does not prevent conception. It does not prevent conception, which I believe life starts at conception. All right, it prevents the conceived child from staying in your womb. Please seek your physician and go to God, the Holy Spirit, on that issue. Despite my passionate beliefs about abortion, if my wife were attacked and a baby were to be conceived through that attack, we would both keep that child and I'd raise it as my own. I have radical beliefs about abortion. I really do. And I understand that. But if you are pro-choice here this morning, welcome. I love you. We're friends. I believe we can have an honest disagreement about that. I have an honest disagreement with the president. He said it's above his pay grade. You're making six figures. You make decisions on this. It's not above your pay grade. you need to figure this out. All right? I disagree with him passionately on it. But I believe that Christians can have honest disagreements with each other, even about life and death matters, and still walk together. I believe that. And I believe that God is big enough for the things that are not in my control. I will vote. I even vote in primaries. Who votes in primaries? Yeah, woo, all right? I love it, all right? I believe that we should vote. I believe that we should advocate for our political beliefs. I believe that we should be active in that. I believe that, right? I'm not giving you a particular way. I'm telling you what I think. You do what God leads you to do, all right? So I want you to understand that, all right? But what's wrong with the political debates in our country is our tendency to demonize those who disagree with us. Advocate for what you believe, but please do it with gentleness. Do it with humility and do it with civility. Does anybody know my wife and children's names? Anybody? Ann, give it to me. Ricky's my wife, great. Trinity. And Mercy. Great. And Mason. And currently we have a foster daughter with us who's been for 3 months. Her name is Riley. Smiley Riley is what we call her. She's 6 months old. Does anybody know the name of his wife and children? And what's her name? I like that. Thank you. Anybody know? If I had a 20 spot right now, I'd hand it to you. If you could, don't text somebody. You don't get a lifeline. Don't phone a friend. Don't Google it. I heard the wife and I heard one of the daughter's names. Anybody know the other daughter's name? I heard it over there. Who said it, right? Okay, one person knows. You know the three. Anybody else, raise your hand loud and proud if you know all three. Like, you owe me $100 if you're wrong. Okay. There are a lot of people, and I bet a lot of people in this room, that think they know something about this man. And you don't know his wife and kids' names. Let me put to you a challenge that we received at summer camp from that same Brent Eldridge that I mentioned. And it's on your handout, two blanks. I don't know if you're like me. I like to fill in the blanks. All right? And here they are. Do I complain more about authority or do I pray more for authority? Hey, Mr. President. In the past 5 years, have you complained more about this man or have you prayed more for this man? What does the Bible say? Do all things without what? Murmuring and complaining. Not just for him. This is just one example. All authority in your life. Have you complained more about them? Or have you prayed more for them? I deliver that challenge to you this morning, that the right thing to do is to pray more for them, more than you complain about them. And if you're a Christian, you got God the Holy Spirit in you who can convict you of the same. Don't take my word for it. Take His word for it. Because Romans chapter 13 is not a matter of following the letter of the law. I'm not a Pharisee up here trying to get you to follow the letter of the law. All right? This is a heart matter. Romans 13 is a heart matter. How is your heart when it comes to honoring all authority? The mayor, your parents, your senior pastor, your boss, the crossing guard. They hold a sign that says stop. You gotta stop. Even the stop sign is on the bus. You can't just go around it. All authority. You know the Constitution of the United States has authority over you? Praise God for the authority that's in there and the rights that it gives us. You should read it. Carry it on your phone app like I do. I want us to find joy in obeying and honoring authority. The book of Psalms says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I want this to be an encouragement to you guys. I want to encourage you to honor all authority, and it is hard. It's going to be hard. This is not something easy that we're being called to. This is something very, very difficult. But I believe in a God that can speak and the storm stops. I believe in the power of a God who can split the Red Sea. I believe in a God that can work in mighty and powerful ways and can do amazing things. And He can change hearts and He can change lives. Praise God for His word. Have you been encouraged this morning? I'm going to show you a video. And after that video, you will be dismissed. You will be dismissed early from church today. Isn't that exciting? I'll give you 10 bonus minutes to like hang out and just fellowship and love on each other or get to Taco Bell early or something. I don't know. Praise God for that. But I'm going to show you a video. And I want you to think about, what do we do now? Church is not a building. You're the church. And the church is about to leave the building. After this video, you are dismissed. Thank you for being here. Come back for another word from God this evening.